All right, so we're going to do my late afternoon system. We're going to stick with the cartridges. So for about 7 hours, I stayed live as I was doing all kinds of listings today. So it was all kinds of fun stuff if you want to. Oh, and I got myself a new little buddy called Rocket. He's a little guy, really small, and it was really fun while I was videoing live, and he got out of the cage right out of my hands, and I don't know how I got him back in. I'm going to try to make a short out of that. If I can get to it, we'll see. Alright, so what we're going to do today, let's find out what's the first NES cartridge games. So we're going to stick with cartridges, because I can learn about coding. First NES cartridge games. 1985, the first cartridge games were Super Mario Brothers, obviously, Duck Hunt, Excite Bike, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Popeye. I never heard of Hogan's Alley, Baseball, Tennis, Soccer, Golf, Clue Clue Land, Pinball, Icebreaker, Wrecking Crew, Gormanite, and Stack Up. Also used with the ROB. Robot accessory. Many of these titles, like Super Mario and Duck Hunt, became synonymous. Games like Gormanite and Stack Up were designed for the NES, a robot operating buddy, though that had limited success and was continued shortly after. What's a robot buddy? Let's see what that is. Is that the thing on your arm? I wonder if that's what that is. Let's check it. So we'll stick with some early NES stuff here. So let's find out what a robot operating buddy is. I believe this thing, it's a thing in your arm. I never had one. I was going to get one, but I just never did. And we're not really getting anything else anymore. Oh no, it's actually physically, it's a robot. 1985 for parts. Well, that's pretty cool. So that would be fun. Take an old robot buddy like that, $199. And you insert AI into it and make it real. I see that being able to happen easily. Some kind of an, I call it an AI worm, but some sort of way to worm into the, get inside the components, and then AI would just do its thing and make it come alive. That's what we're looking forward to. Any sort of AI worm. So $125, so it's actually a robot. Oh, is that what that little, I have one of those. Oh, the spinner motor tester. Oh, I had that somewhere. I just looked at something and I was like, wait a minute, I know what that is. Oh, I had one of those. So that was the first thing. So let's see how that works. All right. So it says, how does the robot work? How does the robot work? The ROB was innovative, designed by the NES. It used optical sensors to detect signals from the TV and perform physical actions in sync with gameplay. So see, even back then, AI had eyes. Now, AI doesn't have eyes yet now. Optical sensor eyes lighted up. The robot arm allowed it to rotate, tilt, and manipulate objects. Physical objects like gyro, spinning tops, and perform. Good, I know what that is. I gotta find that. The NES sends light pulses through the TV screen that robot sensors intercept. Kind of like a remote. These signals correspond to specific commands, like moving its arms or legs. ROBOT performs actions. For it looks like a good working one's a couple $100 on eBay. ROBOT worked with two games, Gyromite and Stack Up. Limited speed, ROBOT was slow, which often disrupted game flow. Game compound, only two games. Technology constraints. While it was a huge commercial success, wasn't a huge, it played an important role. Could we use AI to make this come better? Could we absolutely using modern AI to transform a robo to the 21st century. Here's some ideas of how we could enhance the robo using AI and modern hardware. Oh, so I'm kind of really into this right now. Enhance object recognition with AI vision. Replace the optical sensor with a modern camera. Robot would recognize more complex things. Integrate speech recognition so robot could respond. Players could activate. Use AI to analyze game in real time player. Add gyroscopes and accelerometers for precision motor tracking. AR game experience, wireless conductivity. Well, lots of fun stuff you can do. So those will be things that will happen in the future, I believe. Like a HoloLens or mobile AR. You take an old tech like that and integrate it into AI into it. And you can pair it with Alexa and Google. So lots of ideas there. Game emulating support. So just too bad you just couldn't tell AI just to go do it. Again, I'm seeing something where AI, I plug it into anything through a port of something, even if it's a controller port, and it can worm its way in there and do its thing. USB ports, any sort of port where you can plug AI in. I call AI a worm, and that's a way to diagnose systems and stuff. Okay, so that's a pretty fun start this morning, or today rather. So the robot. And again, there's one here for $85 for parts. I can't afford to buy anything now. That would be fun, though. It's pretty clean. Oh, that's pretty cool. On, off. I'm trying to see. I'm just checking it out. It's missing the battery cover. There's really not much to it. No, I gotta skip that. Alright, so let's go back to game cartridges. So let's do the Super Mario. Super Mario game code process. We'll just do Super Mario. It's basically to say I want to see what kind of yesterday when I was doing Atari, it gave me all kinds of places where I can go interact and make. You can make your own games, basically, once you learn. You don't really need to learn assembly language, but there are places where you can go and do it. All right, the code process for Super Mario Brothers or similar NES. So they're all basically the same. Along with insights into tools and technologies used by Nintendo at the time. So the designer was Shigenuga Miyatomo and Kata Kazuga outlined level characters and mechanics using graph paper. Levels were meticulously sketched to ensure a balance between difficulty and fun. Game mechanics, core mechanics, running, jumping, collecting items, behavior were defined first. Each action was carefully tied to the NES hardware capabilities. Programming the NES was through a 6502 microprocessor using assembly language. Character and object movement were coded pixel by pixel calculation based on a pixel by pixel calculation using a combination of inputs from the controller and physics, accelerator, gravity. Objects like Goomba and Bomba followed predetermined patterns coded at routines. So most of the characters were in a routine. So once you learn a routine, you could easily beat it, I guess. Levels were built by 8x8 tiles. NES used PPU, picture processing unit. Each tile referenced the ROM. Hexel space. Scroll screen for Super Mario Bros. Was a technical breakthrough. That scroll screen in Super Mario Bros. All routines were simple and deterministic. Unless it hit a wall. Its behaviors were coded as loops triggering player proximity environmental conditions. Assembly code writing, developers code hand by hand, and text. emulators of debugging. Nintendo uses in-house debugging tools to emulate the NES software and test game code. Allow developers to test mechanics without burning the CD-ROM repeatedly. So it didn't stop burning the ROMs until... I just don't understand the concept of burning the ROM. It's coded onto a ROM. It's a chip, so that's the part I don't quite get yet. Once code was tested, it was written on the physical read-only memory. So a lot of those games don't work, so that means the ROM chip probably is no good. Memory limits, 2 kilobytes of memory and 32 kilobytes of ROM. Developers use techniques like, I heard this before, bank switching to overcome these limitations by swapping memory banks during the game. So each bank would... The enemy used 64 sprites on the screen at once, with limitations of size and color, 4 per sprite, including transparency. So sprites are a combination of little dots to make characters and explosions and stuff. Developed optimized assets like Mario's design to fit within the constraints. Bugging and optimization. Early NES bug tools were identified. Memory glitches, issues. Optimization will squeeze as much possible into the limited memory. For example, Mario and Luigi use the same sprite with a color pattern swap. So they're the same combinations of little characters to make them. And then they just change the colors on them. Levels were stored as compressed data in ROM, decoding the game during play. Instead of saving every pixel on a level, developers used map pointers to reference specific tiles, dramatically reducing memory usage. I got them. Music was APU, audio processing unit. The APU had 5 channels, 2 pulse waves, 1 triangle wave, 1 noise channel, and 1 DPCM. Kaju Kanada was the composer. Themes like overworld theme. Interesting so far. Playtesting. Nintendo rigorously tested the games to ensure a ROM lock and duplication. Once finalized, it was burned for mass producing. The legacy of Super Mario code. It became fundamental in the development of games. What are some programs today to make NES games? The programs are used today to make NES games. Gave me a little bit of a list of Atari ones. Creating them today is much easier thanks to modern tools. Communities, assembly language tools. For writing tools complying with the 6502 assembly code. You have an ASM6. Simple assembler. Ideal for those who want control over their code. The NESASM, a popular 6502 assembler, tailored for NES development, used in classic homebrew projects. CA65, part of CC65, more powerful, with additional features like micros and better debugging. High-level programming tools. If assembly seems daunting, several high-level programming tools will help develop games without dealing directly with the low-level code. NES Maker, a user-friendly tool that helps create NES games without coding. That'd be up my alley. 8-bit Workshop. An online IDE for retro game development. Supports NES, Atari, and other game systems. You can write NES code in assembly or C with a live emulator to test your game instantly. That's pretty neat. GPDK-2020 for C development. While originally for Game Boy, it can also target NES when paired with NES-specific libraries. Enables NES game development in C, higher-level language than assembly. Graphics and assess tools. NES Screen Tools. And there's YY-CHR, a classic tile editor, tiled, general purpose tile map editor. Emulators for testing. Testing your game requires an emulator to run the ROM. FCE UX, one of the best NES emulators. MESEN, M-E-S-E-N, a high accuracy NES for excellent for debugging and fixing glitches. Integrated development environments. Integrated development. So that's the IDEs. Specifically built for NES game development, streamlined for the assembly debugging. NES IDE, a full IDE for NES development. The 8-bit workshop IDE. Common resources and libraries. Nerdy Knights tutorials. Comprehensive beginning friendly tutorials. Walk you through a simple game step by step. So that'd be fun. I definitely want to learn something like that. A library for simplifying. Another one is NES library. Simplifying development. And then homebrew forums like NESD dev. Sound and music for 8-bit chips. Fami Tracker. Tracker software. Fami Studio. A modern tool for creating NES and sound effects. Final step, compiling the ROM, using, testing the ROM, sharing or distributing. Best path, if you're new to NES, start with the NES Maker or the 8-bit Workshop. Pretty cool. Yeah, so that's probably what I would do, something like that. Because then we go from NES to... I don't know if I want to go any further. So, how many? Let's just see how many games were. How many NES games were made? That had been a lot. I'm not going to go on to another cartridge. I'm just going to stick with this one. We'll just ask more questions about it. 716 licensed games were officially released for the NES. 716 were officially. Japan had the Famicom, which had 1,051 games. PAL had, which is European, at 800 games. Those are licensed. So under unlicensed, during like Tegan, Color Dreams, and Wisdom Tree, released 90 to 100 unlicensed games. Unlicensed, like China, Russia, saw many unlicensed games, including hacks, bootlegs. So even back then, people were still doing hacks. Global estimate. If you call them, likely 2,000 plus unique games. What are the most hard to find games? Hard to find games. Like, I think there's... some rare ones. Okay, so these are the rare games. Rare licensed games. Stadium Events, 1987. Why it was rare, only a few copies from Bandy Game were sold. Rebranded as World Class Track Meet. Estimated 10,000, 35,000. Sealed copies go even higher. A notable fact, only 200 copies were made. Little Samson, 1992, rare. Released date, life cycle with low marketing and limited distribution. $2,000 to $5,000. Gameplay, hidden gem. The Flintstones, surprise at Dinosaur Peak, 1994, rare. Blockbuster rental exclusive in North America. Means only a few copies were sold. $1,000 to $2,500. Complete in the box. Panic Restaurant. Why is it rare? Low production, quirky theme, 800 to 2,000. Bonk Ventures, why is it rare? Originally was for the TurboGrafx-16 game. Saw a late and limited release for NES. And then some rare unlicensed games. Cheetah Man 2, unfinished and sold as part of a unsold stock of active enterprises. 1,000 to 3,000. Myriad 6-in-1. Repackaged multi-cart. 2,000 to 5,000 for that one. Bubble Bath Babies. Whoa. Part of a line of adult-themed games that were not sold in mainstream stores. I was going to say that it sounded like that was where that one was going. So the NES actually had an adult theme. Rare regional exclusive NES games. Mr. Gimmick. Why? Only sold in Japan and Scandinavia. 1,000 to 2,000. Devil World. Released in North America. Never released enough due to its religious imagery, but also so some sort of a some games that never officially released were produced in very small quantities. Nintendo World Champions. Oh, 20,000 to 100,000. Only 116 copies were made. NES test cartridge. Why is it rare technician dial purpose? 1,000 feet. I have one for the Super Nintendo. It's a copy, but called a burnout test, but I don't have one for the NES. Rare homebrewed and reproduction games. Battle Kid Fortress of Peril 2010, 100-300 bucks. Sid Lexia limited edition for tips and finding rare games stores. Yeah, yard sales, flea markets. Unfortunately, I don't have any of those games, but at least I have a fun idea of that. All right, so tomorrow maybe we'll do Super Nintendo, or we'll go to PS1 and check out some Resident Evil or something. All right, so that's my game cartridge thing for today, and then I'll see you guys in the morning. All right, have a good night.